I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, people. This is The Memo, a new episode of The Memo, as a matter of fact. The first day of summer.
What if it's an old episode?
Well, at some point it will be. I guess technically Tuesday.
Isn't it always an old episode?
Is it like that Mitch Hedberg line?
We're not coming to you live.
Here's a picture of when I was younger.
Here's a picture of me when I was older. Where'd you get that camera?
I lost track. Oh, summer. The summer solstice happened at 11:54 p.m. Tuesday. So that was technically the first day of summer, but this is the longest day of the year.
So it was last night. So
this is the first full day of summer.
It was pitch black outside, and that was it.
Yeah, and then suddenly, bam, summer fell upon us.
I was watching, you've probably never seen it, knowing you. Netflix added Zodiac.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's about the Zodiac Killer, Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo. Great movie, like 2007, 2008.
Okay.
And I forgot that some of the killings took place around like the summer solstice and the lunar equinox.
Oh, yeah.
And so as I was watching last night, and we were quickly approaching 11:54 p.m., I was like, thank God, I'm not going to lock the doors.
This is about the Zodiac Killer that's never been caught?
Yes.
I mean, we know it's Ted Cruz, but... No. Just kidding. That was that running joke during the campaign.
Right. Brad's running joke.
No. Yeah. I did, however, catch up on... I did fill in some movie watching gaps in the last week or two. I watched Rear Window.
Rear Window is an excellent one to watch.
Yes, very good movie. Love Jimmy Stewart, mm-hmm. and love Raymond Burr too. Mm-hmm. And recently, last couple of weeks, I watched this German film called Look Who's Back. It's very interesting. Have you seen that? You heard about it?
Scott and I talked about it.
It's about Hitler.
I think that's where you probably got this from.
I may have been.
Yeah,
I don't
Scott
remember.
Scott and I discussed it on an episode of The Memo one day.
Well, it stuck with me and I went and watched it.
Dig through your archives for that one, but yeah.
It's on Netflix.
It starts off kind of humorous and then it turns.
It gets dark and you're like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it. I mean, I suspected it at the time. I was like, oh, that really is. They're talking to like real people, not actors, on some of those scenes where the Hitler character is talking to them. And
yeah,
it's kind of scary. Yeah, it's a different kind of movie, not than I'm used to seeing in a good way.
Is it set in South America?
No. Yeah, Argentina. Did you see where they found a bunch of Nazi artifacts this week down in Argentina? Like the largest collection in somebody's house in like a hidden room, because I think some illicit art, as they called it, started showing up in a museum down there, and they went and there's this they didn't identify the homeowner, but he's got a bunch of like Nazi artifacts, like stuff that had to have been owned by Hitler or some of his top people.
It was
in good condition too.
I need a good Norman Rockwell conspiracy. I don't feel like I don't know. I feel like, you know, all great painters, there's some like the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, right.
Norman Rockwell conspiracy.
Zero hits. The Norman Rockwell code.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's probably just
his paintings are just, you know, classic.
Yeah, there's not
Americana.
I feel like it's time I started one. It's time. There needs to be a good Norman Saturday Evening Post.
What is hidden? What is hidden in those paintings? Those seemingly innocuous paintings.
I'm sure there's something there.
Depicting everyday America.
You know, not like swastikas or anything bad like that. I just, you know, there's like a little demon face like in Brad's house or something. There in the window.
Demon face.
I saw something, speaking of which, we are all over the place this morning. I saw something you need to try because you're a selfie taker and you probably have the Snapchat and all that. So I follow like a haunted Facebook account.
No.
The Facebook account's not haunted, but it's poor grammar. They follow hauntings and stuff like that.
Right.
So the thing to do now is turn your Snapchat filter on and turn it on one of those filters, like the faces or something.
Yeah.
And like hold it around and see if it catches somebody. Like if it catches a face.
Oh.
You know, because then the little flower crown will like show up and you're like, okay, well, it's time to move. We burned the house down.
That's kind of genius there.
Yeah, it is kind of genius, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to try that out. Upstairs, that's where most of the activity seems to be.
I'm kind of sad they didn't use that in Ghostbusters last year in the reboot. That would have been a great scene.
I mean, Snapchat didn't want to pony up for the product placement.
Why, you make your own UI. You don't need Snapchat, but you know, they're all getting like a selfie going through. And then there's like a fifth, you know, flower crown back there. It's like, that's a great, that's a fantastic
scene. I'm going to try that now.
Yeah. So just go through the house and see if, you know, the dog tongue shows up. And if it does.
Out of nowhere.
I think it's time to call a realtor.
Yeah.
And not disclose that information. Except for the people listening to this.
Just somebody can tell me where the bodies are. Just let me know.
That's still one of Eddie Murphy's best stand-up moments ever when he's talking about the haunted house. You never heard that?
I don't know if I've heard that one. Is it repeatable?
Yo, yeah, it's fine. honey, we're going to get a new start. I can't wait. We're going to move in this house. It's going to be beautiful. Look at all this area. Look at all this backyard. Get out. Too bad we can't stay. We got to go.
I think I have heard that one now.
Good stuff. What do we got on today's show?
Oh, I don't know.
Anybody haunted?
Bunch of stuff. I don't think so.
As we approached Halloween, we need to do a haunted episode.
We sure do. We need to do something special for that, but we've got a while to think on that. We got up.
I think maybe we should like go. We've got time to plan, but maybe we should go to the Lyric and talk to Antoine.
Talk to Antoine for an episode, the ghost.
Like on location.
You just interview Antoine.
I have had many interviews with Antoine before, and to the point that I will not stay up there by myself overnight anymore.
I'm sure he's harmless.
He's mischievous, but yes, harmless. But I don't care. You know, Casper the Friendly Ghost would still freak me out at 1 a.m. in pitch black.
That's a good point.
So, anyway, something to think about as we get toward October.
Sure. We've got Caleb Bedillion talking about the Police Advisory Board. The nominees were approved Tuesday. We've got Dennis Sid talking about the demise of the barbecue duel. Excuse me.
That's a name, barbecue.
Yeah, whatever. Michaela Morris to talk about Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. We've got a packed show, or we just talk about ghosts and selfies more.
Well, either way. Okay. What do you got?
Nothing.
You want to try it in here?
Right now.
What's creepier is if you hold it up to somebody who's actually living, quote unquote. I'm using my air quotes, dink dink. Uh-huh. And like if I held it on Chris right now and he didn't get anything.
Vampire.
Yeah. There's just no filter for him whatsoever.
I saw this joke on Twitter.
That makes it a lot harder for me to keep my secret.
Oh, what secret?
Saw this what? Saw this joke on Twitter the other day. I remember who told it.
Face there.
The vampire is at a psychologist or psychiatrist. Psychiatrist says, "So what's wrong with you?" He's like, "I just can't look at myself in the mirror."
I didn't know. Why are y'all pointing your phones at me?
We're just testing a theory.
I'm getting nervous.
I've got it pointed back toward me. Okay, I just don't know.
I'm pointing at Chris.
How do you do these?
I guess I
should have
known. If Brad has his phone out, it's probably pointing back at him.
Oh yeah, that's the only way.
Obviously,
Brad's phone need not have a rear facing camera.
It's stuck on the.
There's a line of Apple iPhones that don't have the back camera.
It's cheaper.
And Brad buys those.
Well, now I can't figure out what the heck I'm doing.
Chris, it says find face. Oh, wait. It found you.
There we go.
Yeah, you're there.
Voice changer.
Good.
Okay, here we go.
I spent a lot of money for something to make my face show up on apps.
Look at me.
There you go. You exist.
Look at me, I'm a giant peach.
So is that the latest Descartes?
Well, yeah.
I have a filter, ergo I exist.
Yeah. What happened? You broke my phone. It won't come on now. Look.
Not the first time.
Look. You evil vampire. What are you doing?
Should have kept trying to find something. Nope, no ghost in here, guys. We're good. We're clear.
He literally broke my phone.
Derek's phone no longer works.
So thanks, Chris.
Chris is
told you.
You went a long way to keep your secret.
So what happened? You tried to take a picture of a non-living.
Yeah, well, if you still had your beard, it probably would have been like, yeah, there's a living
Chris
person.
Kiefer had a beard. Did we ever talk about this?
Guys, my phone will not do anything.
Yeah, we talked about the beard a little bit.
Well,
last
it's gone
week.
Now.
We haven't talked
it's
about gone. The fact that it's missing in action.
Mm. I told y'all.
It's a shame.
Suspense.
It's a real
time.
It's a real
shot
shame.
Down over Nom.
Well, Derek's phone is dead, so I guess we'll carry on while he tries to fix it and talk to some people. All right, we've got Caleb Bedillion in here to talk with us for a little bit. Caleb, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Brad.
Let's talk about this police advisory board. We've talked about it before, but now I guess it's official. The city council on Tuesday approved the nominees for this board by a 6-1 vote. Mike Bryan, the lone dissenter, not surprising. He's been against this from the start, I guess. But otherwise, it all seems like everybody's on board with this, right?
That's right. The council voted earlier this year to approve creation of the board.
Right.
So that part was already done, but the nominees to sit as members on the board were approved last night. So now we have a board, and the board has members. So it will hold its first meeting next week, next Tuesday at 9 a.m. at the police department's community room.
We've got a total of 9.
That's right.
People. So you get one from each ward and then 2 by the mayor.
That's right, Brad. The city council has 7 members, and each member made 1 nomination, and then the mayor made 2 nominations.
Right.
So, yeah, as you said, Mike Bryan offered the only vote against the nominees. Now, he did offer a nominee, so he, in essence, voted against his own nominee. They were put forward as a package. All 9 were voted on at once. He's done this before when Mayor Shelton pushed for the idea of a in-house attorney for the city. You know, you do it in stages. So in the first vote to create the attorney position, Councilman Bryan voted against it. Then when Ben Logan came up to be nominated for the position, he voted against Mr. Logan, but insisted he had nothing personal against Mr. Logan. He just didn't think the position ought to exist. He did the same thing last night. He made a point of saying he's not against any of the nominees, including, of course, his own nominee.
Right.
He just doesn't think there ought to be an advisory board, so he was going to vote against the idea of putting anyone on the advisory board. I asked him if he had considered not putting a nominee forward. I mean, if he's that opposed to
He
theoretically could have kept a seat blank. That couldn't have stopped the board from meeting. They would have still had 8 members, and that's more than enough for a quorum. But he said the mayor asked him to make a nomination, and the ordinance does allow him to. So he wanted Ward 6 to have representation on the advisory board, even as he votes to try and do everything he can to keep the advisory board from meeting.
Yeah. Just to run through who these people are now real quick. From Ward 1, John Hines. From Ward 2, Terry Lee Goyne. From Ward 3, Robert Bond. From Ward 4, Aaron Washington. Ward 5, Larry Presley. Ward 6, Tom Hewitt. Ward 7, Ron Richardson. And then the mayor's nominees were Bill Allen and Gabriella Ungo.
That is correct.
So, what about the I know Jason Shelton said he'd like to have seen a little more diversity on the board.
Yeah, I mean, that was a question I asked of him. Certainly, this advisory board has been put forward as a way, a venue for the police department to solicit more input from the community, and specifically, you know, over the course of the last year, we've seen a lot in the minority community here in Tupelo express concerns about the police department. So in response to some of that was one of the reasons this board was created, but the advisory board membership is lacking somewhat in racial diversity. There's 1 black member and then a Hispanic member, and then the other 7 are white. So, you know, I asked the mayor about that, and obviously he only made 2 nominations, and one of them was the Hispanic member.
She's the only woman, right?
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, we also only have 1 woman of the 9 members. So kind of a lack of diversity in multiple directions. But, again, theoretically, you know, I guess they could have coordinated at the beginning in terms of how that was going to work, but I don't really think there was any discussion. I think everyone just kind of offered a member for consideration. And
Yeah. So the board will meet for the first time next week, correct?
That's right. That'll be open to the public, like I said, in the community room of the new police department headquarters on Front Street.
Are they going to set like an agenda for this first meeting, I'm assuming? I mean, what are they going to talk about? Do we know yet?
Honestly, I could be wrong, but I don't expect much out of this first meeting. Normally, you know, a board would elect its officers at its first meeting, but by ordinance, the mayor selects the advisory board's officers, so he's already done that. Bill Allen, one of his nominees, will be the chairman, and Larry Presley, who is Buddy Palmer's nominee, will be the vice chairman, so that part is done. I assume, you know, one of the things that was anticipated is that the police chief will offer reports to the advisory board. So presumably, I suppose that will go ahead and happen depending on how much prep work they've done. But unless a lot of people from the community show up and have comments to offer, complaints, which I suppose could happen, but otherwise I don't expect a whole lot of excitement out of this first meeting, but I will be there.
Yeah.
And if it happens, and people can read about it in print or online.
There you go. I'll be interested to see if how much public interest there is, because, I mean, you know, this obviously was this came to the fore after the Ronnie Shumpert shooting last summer.
You know,
this was kind of a reaction to that, and by the mayor and his administration wanting to try to, you know, try to have a little more, I don't know if you want to say accountability, because they can't actually, you know, they don't have any investigative powers. But
right, the so-called Coalition of Concerned Pastors and Leaders had asked for a civilian review board that would be some kind of formal civilian oversight over the police department that looks different in different places, a lot of different ways that can be organized. We don't have anything like that.
I mean, right.
That has been emphasized by the council every time they have voted on this advisory board, is they're not setting up an oversight board. It's supposed to be a communications tool.
Yeah. And I'm just interested to see how people respond to this, because a lot of people, like I said, they wanted something with a little more teeth to it as far as the board. And then some people, like Mike Bryan, didn't want it at all.
So that's
I think this is what they call a compromise, but be interested to see how the public receives it. You can read about this in Wednesday's Journal, also at djournal.com. Give Caleb a follow on Twitter at Caleb Bedillion. Caleb, thank you, as always.
All right, sure thing.
And be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And also, Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release new episodes each Thursday, providing game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. However, no episode this week. In fact, I think the next 3 weeks there will be no double coverage. They'll be back in time for SEC Media Days. The guys are thinking they need to take vacations and such. Crazy.
When's Sheen's last day?
Next month, June, July,
up.
July 20-something.
It's coming up. We'll miss him.
Gene Phelps, yes.
Also, don't forget, you can get up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. You can see Brad Locke's pretty, pretty face each morning.
7 o'clock, unless I oversleep. Unless
evening,
I oversleep.
And good night. Yeah.
I have to get up and push some buttons to make that happen.
Yep. Got to get up and push the buttons like Homer Simpson.
I'm just a monkey in a cage.
Yep. You going to break out in the song there for a second?
You don't want that.
Yeah, I thought maybe you're just going to go into rat in a cage.
Oh, yeah. The world is a vampire.
Yeah. What's going on with your cord over there?
Okay, so you know how notorious Mac cords are at just breaking?
Well,
mine broke, and so I borrowed this one from Thomas Wells. Mine just has a little bit of this, the what do you call it, that covers all the wires, that part. It just like split.
Coating?
The coating. And though the wires are exposed, and suddenly it doesn't work. This one that I got from Thomas Wells looks like it's like 20 years old. It's got the coating.
That thing has been through a wood chipper.
The coating, that's what it looks like. The coating is falling off it in chunks, and yet it still works. But mine won't. I don't understand.
Another sad news. I'd like to report that the Tupelo Barbecue Duel, once known as the Don't Be Cruel Barbecue Duel, is gone bye-bye.
R.I.P.
So sad. Yes, rest in peace. Mm. It was only 7, but it lived a long, full life, having moved on from the premises of the Link Center in the first year to Tupelo's front porch at Fair Park.
Yeah.
Everybody looked forward to this. It was a huge event. It was a Kansas City barbecue sanctioned event, one of about 100 in the United States.
And it benefited the Link Center,
and it
correct.
Did. It was the annual fundraiser for the Link Center, and made mucho money the first few years for the nonprofit organization. Link Center is, of course, an arts and social services center hub for Northeast Mississippi. They have performing arts space, but also rent space to social services like the Weston Reed Foundation, among many other nonprofits that benefit from the existence of Link Center. But in an aging building like that, they needed a large fundraiser, as a lot of nonprofits have. You know, the Boys and Girls Club have Dance Like the Stars, and, you know, everybody tries to find their niche, and barbecue was Link Center's. And for the time, it was good, but organizers are now saying that the effort and the cost outweighed the benefits.
Right. Say Dennis Sid had a story about it in Saturday's paper and was going to join us this morning. I think we mentioned at the top of the show, but he was unable to make it.
He's been fired.
But I know, Derek, you've been kind of involved with the festival before, covered the festival before. Yeah. I mean, kind of, what is your
you used to work at the Link Center?
I did. I was there when they first started the barbecue festival. It was a great event. I think you would be hard pressed to find anybody in Tupelo that went that did not have fun. People came out by the thousands for this. For several years though, there they had more than 100 teams back behind City Hall competing.
Big names too. I remember I did a video when Johnny Trigg was out there.
Right? Huge names. In fact, the third year or the fourth year, I can't remember, the Barbecue Pitmasters TV show came for the entire weekend and did a whole episode just at the Tupelo Barbecue Festival.
Wow.
As I said, for a while there, it was called the Don't Be Cruel Barbecue Duel up until, I think, year before last, and then they dropped the Elvis name, but then they moved to a two-day festival where there was an event on Saturday and an event on Sunday, so that's what they had been doing, the duel, you know, get it, D-U-A-L, D-U-E-L, so... Whatever. It was a very expensive event to put on, as you can imagine, you took up most of downtown with this. It was one of the larger Fair Park festivals because, you know, when you have like the Elvis Festival or Chili Fest, of course, that's not a Fair Park, but other stuff, most of it just takes place in front of Fair Park.
Right.
And that's it.
Nolly Putt.
All that takes place right in front of City Hall, on the lawn, around the fountain, all that kind of stuff. Down on Main, all that stuff. This was all of it. The entire back of City Hall and everything.
Wow.
Well, don't cry, Brad. It's going to be okay. Okay. You look like you're
never
gonna
got to be a judge.
The health.
It's going to be one of my lasting regrets.
We can go get some. We'll go over to Barbecue by Jim's and bring you two plates and you can judge it here.
So what do you think did it in?
I think just as I said, it definitely was the cost versus effort versus outcome.
Even though Dennis has talked about that it made money, but
yeah,
it just doesn't make enough money to justify it.
And then you have to basically, it was funding itself when it was supposed to be funding the Link Center.
Right.
The proceeds were supposed to go for programming, for upgrades to the building, for needs throughout the whole year. And as far as I can tell, most of the money was going to fund next year's event. So it was a living organism into itself, basically.
So just got to find something else to do as a fundraiser.
Yeah, have they indicated what?
I'm just going to go back to the drawing board and see what works. So
I guess I think his story said attendance was down, corporate sponsorships were down.
Corporate sponsorships were down. I know that this most recent year, back in March, they only had 68 competitive teams, which was far less than they've had in previous years. It's always been the same weekend. It's always at the end of spring break and right around St. Patrick's Day.
Do they have flexibility on those dates, Derek, or is that circuit?
I'm sure that if there was another availability, the city would have been willing to work, but they, as far as I know, they never they never strayed from that. It worked, and when it worked really well. They had 40 or so teams, 30 or 40 teams that first year just in the Link Center parking lot, and quickly realized we're going to have to do bigger and move to Fair Park.
You think there's any chance someone else picks this up?
You know, I wondered that in the last couple of years. I wondered if maybe they might team it up with like the Craft Beer Festival or, you know, put two things together and try to make it work for maybe two organizations if Link Center would work with Downtown Association or something in the city. City, of course, was a big help with this. Downtown Association always helped out with it. But at the end of the day, it was Link Center's event. Link Center was the one benefiting from it. So I don't know if somebody will step in now or if somebody says, hey, you know, we'd like to take this over. I really do think it's become a staple for Northeast Mississippi the past several years. So It'll be sad not to see it come back.
We'd like to see the Craft Beer Festival come back.
But yeah, from what
I've heard, I don't know if it's
well, going and to. I say Craft Beer Festival because that's another one that's now defunct.
Right. So. And from what I've learned and people have told me who would know, it's not coming back.
Yeah.
At least not in its previous form.
Yeah.
But
maybe you can have the Mustache Bash. Mustache Bash is another defunct one. Maybe you can have the Mustache Bash Barbecue Festival. That's another one that's a lot of effort.
Craft Beer Barbecue Bash.
Mustache
Bash. Throw them all together.
Yeah.
I think Brad's mustache killed the Mustache Bash.
Yeah, that's probably what happened. Been. Yeah.
Pretty much.
They're like, we've reached peak mustache. We can't go any higher.
It wasn't so much that as it was like everybody really felt bad about their own. They were like, thank God I don't look like that guy. We should have to go shave these off. I'm going to go rethink my life.
If
choices.
We keep the festival, he'll do it again.
Yeah, yeah. If we cancel the festival, he'll have no power. It's like Samson in his hair.
The Mustache Beer and Barbecue Bash. So, bam. So gold.
Patent it.
Mm-hmm.
Copyright. Let's do it.
All right. Well, we'll be sad to see it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, be sure to watch Capital View. Just a reminder, it's a webcast each Monday afternoon. You can watch it at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison gives us some commentary and analysis on everything being debated in Jackson. You can watch live Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2017 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Michaela Morris is here now to talk about Medicaid. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm all right. Let's talk about the story you had the other day, the 18th. Day was that?
Sunday.
That was Sunday. Big Sunday,
Sunday.
Story.
Yeah, Sunday. Sunday.
Sunday. Sunday. About
and Saturday.
What?
And Saturday.
And Saturday. Medicaid changes coming.
Potentially.
Mississippi did not expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act as they could have, but it could be among some of the states hardest hit by some proposed changes in funding.
At the federal
level. Right.
Much of the focus to the work that the Congress is doing has centered around the repeal and replacement of Obamacare.
Right.
And because the exchanges are kind of the most visible part of that, of Obamacare, that's often where the focus has been. What's going to happen with cost-sharing subsidies? What's going to happen if insurers drop out? All of the, you know, we need to either reform or get rid of it altogether. That has been the focus of House and Senate Republicans.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the attention has been. But in the American Health Care Act, which is the repeal and replace that passed the House of Representatives,
right.
There is a lot of proposed changes to the way Medicaid is funded, and not just for states that expanded Medicaid and got a very generous match under the Affordable Care Act, but also just fundamentally changing the way Medicaid, which provides health care coverage for generally poor children, poor pregnant women, poverty level, aged and disabled people.
Mm-hmm.
And some in Mississippi, there is a very small sliver of able-bodied adults under 65 that are able to access Medicaid, primarily because they make very little money and that their children are eligible for Medicaid. So there's really very few able-bodied adults on Medicaid in Mississippi. But so you would think, because this conversation is mostly about repeal and replace, that Mississippi would just go back to doing what it's always done. But the Republicans have had I've seen a real need to change how entitlements are funded. And Medicaid is... they see as unsustainable in its current funding form.
You mentioned Roger Wicker says that he thinks the federal Medicaid spending is unsustainable. Mm-hmm. Robin Rudowitz, Associate Director for the Kaiser Family Foundation, that did this analysis study, said that states are going to have to make some hard choices.
Yes. If this passes through, and the Senate version, at least it isn't really clear what is in the version that the Senate will present, but there's at least some rumbling that they may actually go further in Medicaid spending controls and cuts than the House did. You know, that if these are passed through, states will have to make some really difficult decisions about who's eligible for Medicaid and what services Medicaid is going to cover.
Yeah. You mentioned the generous matches.
Yes.
Mississippi has one of the most generous federal matches mm-hmm. for Medicaid, and they receive nearly 75 cents in federal funds for every dollar spent.
Yeah. So the way Medicaid funding works now is that if you're deemed eligible and you have a covered service, that it gets paid. It's paid for, and those federal matching funds are triggered. That okay, it's spent on an eligible person for an eligible service. We will provide. It's like 74.26 cents for every dollar spent of their care. So Mississippi really has to put in about a quarter of the money to take care of folks. And that's people on nursing homes. Mm-hmm. That may be a baby in the NICU. You know, it could be somebody who's disabled getting health care services or getting supports with their Medicare premiums. All of these things, they come together, and they're if the money is spent for on the right or on the appropriate people for the right services, the money flows.
Yeah, yeah.
What Congress is talking about doing is making these either a per capita allocation or a block grant. Basically, you would get this pot of money, and you can maybe there'll be some flexibility with how the states can spend it. Maybe there won't. But you're getting a finite pot of money, and it is going to grow very slowly.
Yeah. I mean, obviously nothing's set in stone yet. The Senate is still drafting its version of,
yes.
of this legislation. And, you don't know how, there's not much fat to trim when it comes to Medicaid here, so you don't know how they'll approach that.
One of the things where Mississippi is particularly vulnerable is that compared to other states, they don't have a very high benefit level. They're considered a low benefit state. They don't cover a lot things that a lot of other states cover. Now they have a fairly depending on who you talk to, that they have a somewhat reasonable reimbursement mm-hmm. rate that at least gets healthcare providers and hospitals some money so that they're covering much, maybe not all of their costs, but they're covering a good chunk of their costs. Certainly better than they would get if they were providing charity care, which is one of the real concerns. If Mississippi is forced to cut the rolls, these people will still get sick and need care, and they will often end up at hospitals that are required to treat all comers, required to stabilize folks, but they will show up sicker, they will require more care. So not only do you have an increase in human suffering, you have a tremendous increase in the use of healthcare resources without any kind of revenue coming in to offset those costs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you think about high blood pressure. If you have somebody on high blood pressure medicine and they can go to the doctor as they need to get adjustments, they're much less likely to end up having a stroke.
Yeah, yeah.
If they don't have access, and funny enough, prescription medication is not considered a required benefit under Medicaid. It is an optional one. Now, pretty much all the states have opted in, but that is... That may be something that is particularly vulnerable, especially depending on how what kind of flexibility comes to states with these cuts if they pass. And that's the question, is it's not clear what flexibility the federal government will give the states to deal with these problems.
All right. Well, y'all can read more on this in Sunday's Journal. It's also there at djournal.com. Michaela, as always, thanks for your time and your insight.
Happy to share.
Well, it was a good show, Brad. I appreciate you taking some time and dropping by today.
Just reading something here. Sorry.
Oh,
I got distracted. Plane landed safely at Kennedy Airport after the crew reported seeing a green laser. It's happening around midnight. This Delta flight from Las Vegas was about 4 miles outside of Farmingdale, New York. Saw a green laser. It may have come from the Plainview or Old Bethpage area, but like, how does a laser get all the way up there? Unless it's coming from a UFO.
That's what the cats think, too, whenever you do that little laser beam up on the... Well, we're talking about weird stuff.
Russian
Let me tell
satellite.
You what happened after the beginning of the show. So
we're talking about ghosts, just a reminder.
I'd like to continue. We left off with my phone will not come back on. My phone came back on. It was at 80% charge when I took the picture of Mr. Kiefer.
Mm-hmm.
It died, apparently, and would not come back on. I finally get it to come back on. It immediately comes back on with 49% charge, and the picture's gone.
From 80% to 0 to 49%,
That's a long route just to get rid of, hey.
As we know, ghosts drain batteries. It's a scientific fact.
Verifiable.
I mean, you've seen ghost hunters, right? They can also make flashlights click on and off.
On command. Okay, I just push the button. I feel like you, off air a minute ago, you were talking about Bob Dylan, and now I feel like everything I say, hey, I can turn the light on and off. What are you doing? What are you doing? Quit that.
I'm not doing anything.
So freaky. You're so weird over there.
What was Chris doing?
What?
I trusted you more with a beard. That's what it is. Now that you've shaved it off, I'm like, sketchy individual.
Yeah.
You're just a normal white guy now. I couldn't even pick you out of a police lineup.
That's the point, maybe.
Very nondescript. Give him some shrimp, see if he blows up a little bit.
Oh, boy. Are we done?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it?
That's
okay,
it.
I guess.
My phone's working again, so.
That's good.
Of course, every time I let it get closer to Chris, it drops the percentage.
I tried it with my phone. I took a picture and nothing happened.
What do you mean nothing happened?
Like it took the picture, didn't die.
Oh,
the phone didn't
die.
Do you
have the picture?
It was a Snapchat, but I didn't actually send it. I just deleted it.
All right.
So.
It's like, if a tree falls in the woods, if I take a picture with Snapchat, but I don't send it, did I ever really take it?
It's not there.
Is it a snap? I feel weird that everyone's taking pictures of me today.
You should.
Yeah. Doesn't happen most days.
However, you said the same thing happened to your wife when she tried to take a picture of you.
She has been having battery issues lately, so.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a battery issue.
In conjunction to the proximity of you, or?
Perhaps.
I don't trust it.
Chris is not a human. Are vampires also humans, or are they former humans?
They're former humans,
but
except
still,
for the original.
But they still live in a human shell.
And they still have constitutional rights?
Do they have souls?
Huh? What?
What? I'm just having these thoughts.
Does a vampire have a soul?
No, a vampire doesn't have a soul.
No,
does
a vampire does not have a soul.
Obviously, if you've seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, that's the authority there. Yeah. You don't get your soul back unless you like experience true happiness.
All right.
So we're done until Friday,
mm-hmm.
when we'll talk about food, entertainment,
movies,
maybe ghosts again. Because
probably because almost every day we talk.
Have I talked about my youngest daughter her obsession with ghosts? I probably have
a little bit.
Now she's gotten we introduced her to Scooby-Doo now. Which, of course, every episode has to do with ghosts. And so she's
not every episode.
Well, just it seems like it. There's all the ones we've been watching.
Which one are you showing her? Like the original?
Yeah.
Because there's like 74 different versions of Scooby-Doo.
No, it's the original. Like the Hanna-Barbera like original from way back.
Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Casey Kasem and all them.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's the original, yeah. So
they rebooted it a few years ago. They've done this version. I mean, they do it every few years, but they did one. And it's like total homage to horror. Like there's a Jason episode. There's a Twin Peaks episode. It's actually pretty good. Didn't last long. It only lasted 2 seasons, but it's pretty funny.
But yeah, she's just like, ghost.
It was basically for parents who were having to watch Scooby-Doo with their kids, they were getting a little something out of it.
I get it. Whatever happened to the Muppet Show? Is that still on ABC?
No, it got canceled.
Man, I saw like 2 episodes and was really excited and then just forgot to watch it.
It was a good show. People are just awful. People are terrible. People like Chris Kiefer.
What?
They canceled Pitch, too. I'm still upset about that.
Yeah, I saw it.
I really liked that show.
I never got a chance to watch that one. Kind of wanted to. Oh, well. Lots of good shows get canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of bad shows stay on the air.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
Don't get me started. Okay. We've wasted enough of people's times. We'll be back Friday. Hey, find us online, by the way. You can listen to the show. The memo.djournal.com.
A variety of ways.
Yes, you can also check it out in iTunes or Google Play, any of your podcast apps. Click the subscribe button. You'll get notified when a new episode drops. Also, you can find out about new episodes on Twitter. Follow us at djournalmemo. Okay. I think I got all the plugs in. We'll be back. Thumbs up from Derek. That means we're done.
You got a hitchhiker's thumb?
Your thumb is freakishly bent backwards. How do you do that? I can't do that. Mine goes... Derek's thumb is weird. Okay. On that note,
double jointed.
See you next time.